2,000 kids call the streets of Guatemala City home. In Ecuador, many children struggle just to survive. In Mexico, some kids sleep on dirt floors.
Well, we really have a heart and passion here at GROUP to use the millions of children that have access to our Vacation Bible School material. Just imagine the children at your VBS joining millions of other children in North America who are so privileged to be able to blanket, literally blanket the world with Jesus' love. I can't imagine a better gift that we could give to children, and no one's ever done anything like this. So we as Christians can begin to change the world and have a visible, tangible sign of God's love. For a crew of six people, this is around $1 per person for this incredible, warm, wonderful, cuddly blanket that will share Jesus' love.
With Operation Kid to Kid, each crew, a group of five kids and one teenage or adult leader, will create a soft blanket for a needy child in a Spanish-speaking country. Each blanket says, "Jesus loves me," in English and Spanish. That way, every time kids cuddle up in the blankets, they'll be reminded of Jesus' amazing love.
Jesus Loves Me blanket kits come with the fringes cut and ready to tie. Kids, teenagers, and adults simply place the two blanket pieces on top of each other, tie the corners together, then continue tying the fringes until the two parts are completely tied together. Kids will slip a special heart between the blanket layers, then join together in prayer for the child who will receive the blanket.
Then you'll ship your soft, cuddly blankets to International Bible Society for worldwide distribution. With your help, children who sleep in the streets, on dirt floors, or in cold mountain villages will literally be wrapped up with the love of Jesus.
Join us in blanketing the world with Jesus' love.
That's just a little bit of what will be going on with our kids this summer. Vacation Bible School will be the third full week. The third full week of June. And our children will be participating in Operation Kid to Kid. As we begin this morning, let us turn to the Renew Hymnal. Before our prelude and sing number 36. If everyone will stand, if you are able.
Lord, and I lift my heart.
Amen. You may sit down.
Good morning. Let's try that one more time. There's a lot of people in here. I know y'all can make more noise than that. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Okay. So glad to see such a wonderful full church and all these wonderful faces to come and to worship our Lord and to support our children as they learn more and more about bringing honor to God and learning more about worship themselves. We just want to take a couple minutes to welcome each of you, as well as any first-time visitors that we might have, and maybe we do have some guests today. Over in my section over here to the left, do I have any first-time visitors? Just all good old regular people, that's good. We're all so glad y'all are here. Good to see you. Good, Tom. Good morning. What about in the center? Do I have any first-time visitors today? Welcome. Would you like to introduce them, Sheila? We're so glad that y'all joined us today. Is that an itty-bitty little granddaughter back there? And how old is she? Aw, so cute. Get them started early. Welcome. Thank you for coming and joining us today. And over in my section to the right, do we have any first-time visitors? Well, good morning. Oh, in the back, what? Front row? Welcome again. And we're just so glad that y'all joined us. I'm going to just encourage you to read your bulletin. Do you have an announcement, Elizabeth? We have, read your bulletin for announcements. We're going to make a few brief announcements. Obviously, Larry, could you make your way forward and talk about today? Elizabeth, what would you like to announce? Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. Carol, go ahead.
John Wagner
has an announcement.
We have a beautiful baby girl.
Yay! That's awesome. Congratulations. Yay, thank you. Wonderful new life. Susan? And that's for every church member to have a shirt that you own that is a Jenkins Church shirt. You can wear it. Yeah. And all that money will go to raising money for the youth mission trip this summer. Thank you, Susan. And then I promise I'm going to let you talk. He can't talk today. He's good. No, I'm just kidding. Okay. Y'all saw the little promotional video for VBS in June, and I think it's so funny. Mothers and Others is doing Fiesta. The theme for our VBS this year is also Fiesta. We'll be asking for donations or just borrowed items. If you have some things that are Mexican art, Mexican blankets, things like that that you could donate, we can definitely tag them and get them back to you. But we will start trying to collect items for that to decorate and transition our church into a little Mexican village, and it'll be a lot of fun. It is called Fiesta, and it did talk about this year we are going to do the mission project, and instead of doing crafts each day, we're going to, on several of the days, we're going to put our efforts into making these blankets. We pre-order these little blankets. They're I've got a little handout here. You can feel them. They're little fleece. They're orange and white. They say in English, Jesus loves you. They also say that in Spanish. And they're the little fringe. They're two layers deep. And all you do is you lay them together and you tie the little fringes together. And we are going to make those at VBS. And, yay, we're going to ask every Sunday school class at Jenkins to make a blanket as well. So, we will be talking more about that. It would probably take you one of your Sunday school class days. And then what we do is, at the end of VBS, we're going to gather all those up and we're going to send them to Guatemala. Okay? So, we'll be talking more about that. If you're interested in doing one with your family, if you think you would like to do one with your family in addition to what we're going to do through church, please let me know. We can order as many as we like. Might be a nice family project to do. So, that's that. And whatever you need to add.
Okay, today is a very special day for the children. It's promotion for future activities for children. You may feel that we're promoting a lot of stuff, but we need to for the children here and children in the community. We are glad to be here today. We're going to eat at 11:30. If we happen to get through before 11:30, there will be coffee available before lunch, if you want to go on over to the fellowship hall, but kind of give the workers there an opportunity to get the food on the table, and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And they plan to eat at 11:30. Hopefully we'll be through by then, but they said postpone us, keep us as close to that as we could. Also, at 12:45, we want to meet back in here, and we're going to recognize a lot of people, workers on our new addition between the two buildings. Also, we're going to recognize the givers of these six stained glass windows. We're still short of names that contributed toward the cross on the back wall, but we've got plaques for all of the windows here. So we're also going to dedicate the building and recognize people. And then we're going to recognize, we've already dedicated these windows some time ago, but we're going to recognize the contributors or the givers of these windows then. 11:30 lunch, 12:45 back here, and I think that's it. Except, while I'm up here, Ms. Frudenthal is not doing well at all. And she's at Stonecrest, and so I'll add that to our prayer list right now.
And that's what we're going to do, or if there's any more announcements that anyone has. Okay, let's just move on to our prayer and praise requests. Obviously, we need to pray for Ms. Frudenthal. Really, I hope that she was just going to bounce right back. We miss seeing her here, and so y'all keep her in your prayers. Anyone else? Would you like to? Yes, Elizabeth. Yes, Mike.
Would you pray for our children, Amy Ruth and Red, that we're traveling home from New York this morning, or later today, I should say. They're having the time of their life. Red has gotten to broadcast the NFL draft, and he and Amy Ruth are having a really good time. And just pray for them to have a safe trip home.
Hey, New York is just fun. Anyway, but we will. They just safety and their travels and mercies in their travels today coming home. Anyone else? Yes?
I have one and I'm
okay. Thank you.
My school, and
You know, AIDS is a horrible epidemic, and it's a worldwide epidemic, and we need to just continually pray for that cause and for that disease that has just literally wiped out so many, and hundreds and thousands in the continent of Africa and here in the United States and all over the world. And try to remember those people. Don't let them fade away. It's not, we don't hear it in the front of the news daily today, but it's still there, and it's no different, and it's a horrible epidemic. Please remember all those people in your prayers each day. Anyone else? Yes. Okay. That doesn't sound very pleasant. Charlie Dornan. Broken ribs. Did he fall? Anyone else? Yes, Melanie.
I just got back yesterday from being with my mom, who, as many of you know, has kidney cancer, but before we could take care of that, she fell and broke her neck. And she's been in the hospital since the middle of March, so she actually got moved back home. I won't go into all the little baby steps we've taken in this healing process, but it is truly miraculous. I'm truly certain that it's been because of the faithful prayer of so many, that each little turn of events has worked well, and for her spirit and soul, as well as for her physical healing. I don't know what the end result will be yet, but I just continue to thank you for your prayer support and the many cards. And she does also, she's very thankful too. And right now she's at her home with a 24-hour-a-day caregiver. And I think this will be good for this stage of the development. So thank you.
Keep her in your prayers. Well, I was going to say, quick summary is I'm having surgery Tuesday morning. I have a torn cartilage. It's minor. It's scope. And I'm going to be up and painting by the end of the week now. But no big deal. I did tear the cartilage in my knee. That's why I've been hobbling around for 3 weeks. And so surgery, 8 o'clock Tuesday morning. So if y'all just keep my, you know what, keep Tracy and Tucker in your prayers too. Gets kind of ugly at my house when there's stuff laying around. And, oh, yes, Carol. Anyone else? Yes.
Nancy Allsby, a good friend of mine, a Baptist minister, experienced minimal cell problems. I asked if he's now healing. One of the minimal prayers.
I'd just like to raise praise to all the wonderful gifts that God sends us. I have laughed in lieu of crying over this whole situation with my knee, and timing is terrible, but you know what? It's so funny how God works in our lives and how His timing always is perfect. And it's going to cost us a lot of money because I'm privately insured. I don't know if anybody experiences that in life, but it's no fun. But it's a choice, a life choice that Tracy and I made. But you know what? We actually have the money, which normally we don't. And so it's not what we wanted to spend our money on, but we have it, and it's just, to me, that's a blessing. So don't forget, each day, there might be small, or they might not be in the package that we expect. But, you know, don't forget each day to thank God for your daily bread, because what I've found just in the past few weeks is, you know, He will give it to you on a day-to-day basis. Sometimes we just feel like we can't go. How are we going to make it? But, you know, God will just provide enough. He provides us our daily bread, and we just need to be so thankful for that. I was walking through Walmart the other day, and a man said, I said, how are you doing? He said, I'm blessed. I said, I'm the same, as I was hobbling down the way. I'm trying not to whine and fuss about this. And I'm sharing that with Tracy and Tucker. And yeah, it's a big pain in the rear end. But you know what? It's okay. And God has provided for us and will continue to. I know we're, like Larry said, stretch it out. Mama had a wonderful experience this weekend where she was able to help someone in need. Instead of walking by that person, she took the time to to stop and find out the needs of that person, and it affected her in a great way. And please let her share that with you if you have the opportunity to talk with her. So that's that. Enough said. We are going to get started. Please pause for a moment of silent prayer. Welcome Jesus, the light of the world. John 8:12 says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. I don't think they have fire. No fire? Light off the Noah's. Okay, and y'all can have a seat. Please stand and join us in singing Awesome God. It is on the screen above. We are just going to sing the chorus. We're going to sing it through three times, and we're going to begin our worship. Do you not know the words?
I do. Worship comes from Psalm 100, and is responsive. Shout for joy, the Lord, all the earth.
Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before Him with joyful song.
Know that the Lord is God.
It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture.
Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise.
Give thanks to Him and praise His name.
For the Lord is good, and His love endures forever.
His faithfulness continues through all generations.
Salvation is a rainbow made of gifts given from above. Each has its own color and is a symbol of God's love.
Red is for the blood He gave. Green is for the grass He made. Yellow is for the sun so bright.
Orange is for the edge of the night. Black is for the sins we made.
White is for the grace He gave.
Purple is the hour of sorrow.
Pink is for the new tomorrow. Gracie. All children together.
Blue is for our when each of us is born.
We are cleansed with grace eternal, no more to be formed.
To number 238, He is Exalted.
He is exalted, the King is exalted on high. I will praise Him. He is exalted, forever exalted, and I will praise.
Express our faith through Lord, this morning we come to sing your praise. May our hearts and voices raise through word and song and prayer, through deed and showing we care. Our action will reflect the truth of our hearts, protect and help us learn what we ought to, and may we always worship you. And let us pray as Jesus taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
We express our faith in God through the reciting of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord,
who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin
Mary,
suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He ascended into Hades, and on the third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven, and sitteth
on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From there he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
Holy Jesus.
A father. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. Is before me, surrounded by your glory. What will my heart feel? What I lift for you, Jesus, for in all of you be still. Will I stand in your presence? From my knees will I fall? Will I speak? Hallelujah! Will I be able to speak at all? I can only imagine. I can only imagine. I can only imagine when that day comes. I find myself living in the sun. I can only imagine.
You celebrate on Christmas?
Yeah.
Do you get presents?
Yeah, but I forgot.
That's right, it's not just about
Jesus.
Is Noah's Ark your favorite Bible story?
Yeah.
When all the animals got on the ark?
Yeah.
Yeah. How many animals went on the earth?
Lots.
Lots? Did two animals go for every animal?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's a lot of animals. Elephants, and giraffes, and birdies, and ponies, and horses.
And elephants?
Yeah.
There are horses? What's your favorite Bible story?
The Easter story.
Easter, and he died on the cross, and he rose again.
In Bethlehem? And what do we call that? Do we call it Christmas?
Yeah.
The
shepherds knocked down the wall.
They knocked down the wall?
Yeah.
How'd they do it? Did they listen to God?
Yes.
And so it knocked down the wall?
Yeah.
Cool.
The word of God,
the word of God,
is the King of Kings,
is
the mighty one,
the mighty one,
who made everything,
is
the Alpha and Omega,
living in everything,
but best of all, he's my best friend. He's the Prince of Kings, he's the breath of life,
he's
the Lamb of God, full of sacrifice.
Our offertory sentence comes from Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Thank you.
Our scripture lesson today comes from First John chapter 3:1-4. How great is the love of our Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God, and that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know Him. Dear friends, now we are children of God, and what we will be has not yet been made. But we know that when He appears, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. Everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure.
Good morning. I would like to thank all the kids. You were awesome. It's been so much fun sitting up here with all of you. From the comedy routine of Jerry Seinfeld, according to most studies, people's number one fear is public speaking. Number two is death. Death is number two. Does that seem right? That means to the average person, if you have to go to a funeral, you're better off in the casket than doing the eulogy. So if this study is true, please bear with me this morning, because this is my first time to give a real sermon. I've done the kids' message, but that's like 2 minutes long, so we'll see how this goes. When Susan asked me to do... You're going to time me? Okay. When Susan asked me to do this, it was a couple of months ago, and I said, sure. And I wasn't really sure what I was going to talk about, and it's taken me that long to figure out what I was going to talk about. And I've realized that in my life, the only thing that's been constant is the fact that I've had to make choices every single day. And especially in my final year of high school. Believe it or not, the decisions that you make every day affect your future. And all of you have made decisions this morning. You decided to attend this worship service. Some of you decided to go to Sunday school, and some of you encouraged your children to participate this morning. And all of those decisions will help guide you on your personal spiritual walk. And without making these decisions, many of you would not have made the ultimate decision to believe in God. Ralph Waldo Emerson once said that God offers to every mind its choice between truth and repose. Simply put, I believe that this means that God gives us the choice to make the decision between right and wrong. And some of us will take action, and others will take a back seat. As a child, I had the life. I didn't have to make any decisions. I didn't have to decide what to eat, because usually it was peanut butter and jelly sandwiches. And I didn't have to decide what to wear, because I went to a private school, and I could wear a uniform every day. But in my senior year of high school, I have realized that every day brings new decisions and choices I must make. Many of my friends will tell you that I am the most indecisive person ever. I am afraid to make decisions because I'm afraid that someone will be disappointed. In fact, I have been making a decision to go to college all year long. And in doing so, I have weighed my options. And it ended up that my parents had to help me decide in a coin toss. Luckily, it landed heads up in the school I was leaning towards. And because I'm generally an organized person, every choice that I make leads to yet another and another choice. Inevitably, the tiny choices that you make, for example, who to eat lunch with, can affect the type of person that you will become. If you allow yourself to be caught up with someone who has a negative attitude, your outlook on life will become cloudy, and you will become negative. Genesis chapter 3, verses 12 through 13, give us our first glimpse at human decision. Here Eve chooses to eat the forbidden fruit, a decision that will give women a bad reputation for years to come. Adam then proceeds to follow Eve, the excuse that women will use to remind them that they are not always the brightest crayons in the box. The most obvious human error here is not only the decisions made, but also the fact that both parties proceed to blame one another. We must realize that God gave us free will so that we could make our own decisions. Therefore, we must realize that when things do not go as planned, we must willingly accept the blame. Similarly, the Book of Lamentations, a collection of five poems, was written to express how awful the Jews felt after the Babylonians destroyed Jerusalem and God's temple, and then realized what happened was their own fault. The Lord is righteous, yet I rebelled against his command. Listen, all you peoples, look upon my suffering. Sometimes after you make a wrong choice, there is no way but to avoid the consequences. Let us look at two influential characters, Abraham and Jonah. At a very old age, Abraham and Sarah were blessed with their only son, Isaac. This son brought them great joy, and the couple was willing to honor God's command to thank him for his blessing. To prove that the couple was indeed God-fearing, God commanded Abraham to sacrifice his only son on the mountains of Moriah. Then God said, "Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about." Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When he had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. On the third day, Abraham looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servants, "Stay here with the donkey while I and the boy go over there. We will worship and then we will come back to you." Abraham took the wood for the burnt offering and placed it on his son Isaac, and he himself carried the fire and the knife. As the two of them went on together, Isaac spoke up and said to his father Abraham, "Father." "Yes, my son," Abraham replied. "The fire and wood are here," Isaac said, "but where is the lamb for the burnt offering?" Abraham answered, "God himself will provide the lamb for the burnt offering, my son," and the two of them went on together. When they reached the place God had told him about, Abraham built an altar there and arranged the wood on it. He bound his son Isaac and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then he reached out his hand and took the knife to slay his son. But the angel of the Lord called out to him from heaven, "Abraham, Abraham." "Here I am," he replied. "Do not lay a hand on the boy," he said. "Do not do anything to him. Now I know that you fear God because you have not withheld from me your son, your only son." Abraham looked up, and there in the thicket he saw a ram caught by its horns. Abraham was certain that God would keep his promises, even though he didn't know how he could if Isaac were dead. Faith like Abraham's gives you the courage to always do what is right, even if you don't know God's exact plan. You can be sure that if you obey, God will provide. Psalm 139 reminds us that God is always there when we struggle, and when we are successful, he will never desert us. "Where can I go from you, Spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast." The story of Jonah and the whale. A little girl was observed by her pastor standing outside the preschool Sunday school classroom between Sunday school and worship, waiting for her parents to come and pick her up for big church. The pastor noticed that she clutched a big storybook under her arms with the obvious title, Jonah and the Whale. Feeling a little pernicious, he fell down beside the little girl and began a conversation. "What's that you have in your hand?" he asked. "This is my storybook about Jonah and the whale," she answered. "Tell me something, little girl," he continued. "Do you believe that story about Jonah and the whale to be the truth?" The little girl implored, "Why, of course I believe this story to be the truth." He inquired further, "You really believe that a man can be swallowed up by a big whale, stay inside him all that time, and come out of there still alive and okay? You really believe that all of that can be true?" She declared, "Absolutely. This story is in the Bible, and we studied about it in Sunday school today." Then the pastor asked, "Well, little girl, can you prove to me that this story is the truth?" She thought for a moment and then said, "Well, when I get to heaven, I'll ask Jonah." The pastor then asked, "Well, what if Jonah's not in heaven?" She then put her hands on her little hips and sternly declared, "Then you can ask him." Jonah, on the other hand, was not always the best decision maker. The word of the Lord came to Jonah, son of Amittai. Go to the great city of Nineveh and preach against it, because its wickedness has come up before me. But Jonah ran away from the Lord and headed for Tarshish. He went down to Joppa, where he found a ship bound for that port. After paying the fare, he went aboard and sailed for Tarshish to flee from the Lord. Then the Lord sent a great wind on the sea, and such a violent storm arose that the ship threatened to break up. His decisions landed him inside the big fish. Here we see that Jonah chose to disobey God. However, because God is a merciful God, he gave Jonah a second chance. This time Jonah obeyed, and the people of Nineveh listened to God's warning. More often than not, the right choice is often the hard choice. In some cases, we are not given a choice, and we must simply make do. However, when you are faced with daily challenges, we can follow the example set by Abraham and Jonah, as long as we remember that God is always there for us, even when we make bad decisions and fall short of his glory. He is there. And sometimes, if you're like me, you may need some guidelines. So just remember the four C's to making the right decision. Challenge yourself. Stop and think. Don't make hasty decisions. Plan and allow yourself time to weigh your options. Consider positive and negative consequences. Every decision you make yields results, so be sure that you know what they are. Choose the best option for you. Sometimes the best option for you means that you may have to disappoint others. As long as you consider God in your plans, you must remain faithful to yourself. Commit yourself to learn from past experiences. The old saying to try again, or get back on the horse is true. Do not let past experiences keep you from experiencing new things, but consider what happened in the past and try to improve upon it. When you are struggling to make the right decision, consider Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Everyone will stand as we sing our closing song, Who Am I? If this is unfamiliar to you, then join in when you can. Thank you.
Dear Lord, please help us to remember that we are the children of God and that all the choices we make, good or bad, you are always there for us. Thank you for all of these kids this morning. Amen.
A moment of personal privilege, I guess. I want to express thanks to the children and to Catherine. Thank you, Catherine. A great message for young people and old people alike. We're still making choices. I want to thank Kelly in her difficult time and Susan. Also, Savannah, Melanie, and John, these adult musicians back here. Thank you also. Who else worked real hard on this? Maybe Tracy's been running extra errands, but anyhow, thank you. Thank you for your support, your encouragement to the children, and just continue to pray for the children. And Catherine, as she's made a decision about college, I even learned that this morning, and she goes off to college, but it's going to stay kind of close to home. Lunch at 11:30, and we will let's offer a prayer of thanks for lunch before I pronounce the benediction for this service of the blessing. So let's just bow our heads, and I want to ask that every one of us just offer thanks that God has provided food, and thank those who have been working and preparing the food, those that prepared some at home, those who've been setting up tables this morning. Lord, thank you for fellowship around the table and food to nourish us and a life to glorify you through. In Christ's name. Amen. And when you get over there, if they don't know it, tell them that we've already blessed the food and even them. Hear this benediction. I think it's fitting from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, may he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen.